Greetings, North and Central America. This is 21st Century Radio's Hieronymus and Company, where knowledge comes first, reminding you that we're not just the people from any city or state in the Union. And we're not just the folks from the east or west coasts of America. We're not only Americans, hobbits, occidentals, or orientals. We are people from the planet Earth. We are Earth people. Sometimes my schedule prevents me from reading what I really want, especially when I have errands to run or when I'm off to the studio. It's at those times that I turn to my audio cassette player to keep my spirits up, and that's the truth, friends. In recent months, I've been especially entertained by an audio cassette version of both The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit produced by The Mind's Eye. Remember that, friends, The Mind's Eye, which I listened to over and over again. Now, I know you know who Mind's Eye is because every prize given away tonight comes with one of their catalogs, which are extraordinary art pieces in themselves. And in that catalog, you'll not only find Tolkien tapes, but also Hobbit t-shirts, all types of audio tapes from Sherlock Holmes to The Shadow and C.S. Lewis's Tales of Narnia. Mind's Eye President Robert Lewis, Dr. Robert Louis Stevenson, Robert Lewis, is with us this half hour to share with us the production of these, how these tapes were put together and how you can add them to your collection. Both sets of Tolkien dramatizations are available as prizes tonight. You heard me right. We're going to give away both sets tonight, this hour. If you're fast on the dial and can correctly answer questions about last week's show. But if you're not, remember, call Mind's Eye at 1-800-227-2020. That's 1-800-227-2020 and order your own in time for Christmas. Boy, what a present that would make, huh? Second half of this hour will be time to check out the 1992 J.R.R. Tolkien calendar, which features all original art by Ted Nasmyth. It's published in America by Ballantine Books. It's another Tolkien treasure. Some of these are going to be given away as well. Not just tonight, friends, but in the future shows to come. Yeah. So get ready for more of Tolkien's 100th anniversary when we return. Frodo Lives for our sixth caller right now. Frodo Lives for our sixth caller right now at 1-800-487-8255. That's 1-800. It's Talk 6. Caller will not only win a Frodo Lives on 21st Century Radio button and a Mind's Eye catalog, but are you ready, friends? A Hobbit t-shirt from Mind's Eye as well. It's absolutely beautiful. Tolkien on audio tape with Dr. Robert Lewis, president of the Mind's Eye, when we return. Welcome back to 21st Century Radio's Hieronymus and Company, where knowledge comes first. Our executive producer and research assistant is Laura Courtner. She's being assisted tonight by Cynthia Batterton. Our engineer is Steve Dean. You can join us at 1-800-487-8255. That's 1-800 at talk. J.R.R. Tolkien, 1892 to 1973, was a professor of Anglo-Saxon at Pembroke College, Oxford, from 1925 to 1945, and then, until his retirement in 1959, Merton Professor of English Language and Literature. His chief interest was in the literary and linguistic tradition of the English West Midlands, especially in Beowulf, Sir Gawain, and the Green Knight, but he is better known to the reading public as the author of Farmer Giles of Ham, The Hobbit, The Adventures of Tom Bombadil, and three volumes of The Lord of the Rings. Friends, if you spend much time moving around, that is, walking, jogging, riding, or just working around the house, you can make those moments much more joyful by listening to Tolkien's Hobbit and Lord of the Rings on audio cassette. Months ago, we discovered the Mind's Eye catalog of special gifts and treasures, and we were absolutely delighted with what they added to our life. Obviously, the catalog was put together by a fellow Tolkien fan. With us now is the president of Mind's Eye, Dr. Robert Lewis. Welcome to 21st Century Radio's Hieronymus and Company, where knowledge comes first, Dr. Lewis.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, we're now about an A. we started out at a B-plus about 2 hours ago. Now we're up to an A.
And maybe we'll even get to an H by the end of the hour. Did you ever get an H when you were in the college there?
No, we didn't have those designations.
Oh, that was a toughie. An H was above 100, and they were tough to get. But if you bribed the teacher enough, then you could get one, huh? Right, okay. Now, Mind's Eye, where did you get that name?
Actually, the name comes from Hamlet, Shakespeare's Hamlet, when they tell about the ghost of Hamlet's father being on the tower, and then later on Horatio tells him about it, and he says at one point, "My father, I see my father," and Horatio thinks the ghost has come into this room, and then he says, "Where?" And Hamlet says, "In my mind's eye, Horatio."
Mm-hmm.
So probably the name the mind's eye is used a lot, but that's the one that came to mind when we decided to use it for our company name, since we were involved in audio productions.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed suitable for the kind of thing we were doing because it is an imaginative adventure in the mind's eye.
Yeah. Tell us what inspired you to put together a catalog of such gems. Boy, what an outstanding catalog.
Well, it's evolved over a long period of time. It's about 20 years since our company was first founded. We were one of the pioneers in audio production in terms of books on tape for the trade, for the retail market. The company was started in 1972, and actually a group of us got together and decided to test the waters with a few classic books.
Mm-hmm.
We'd been doing some educational recording for other companies, and we thought we'd put together a company of fine actors, and we thought, well, why don't we put these people to work on some classics? And so we started doing some classic books on cassettes, and generally they were dramatized rather than simply read.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them were stage actors, but a few were people who had some experience in radio in England.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the U.S. radio tradition had pretty well faded out by them. So there weren't a lot of radio actors around from the U.S., but there were a lot of stage actors, and actually the English actors helped the American actors learn some mic techniques, so they picked it up very quickly.
Now, before we get to the audio productions of The Hobbit and Rings Trilogy, when was your first contact with Tolkien's works, and why did you think an audio production of his masterworks was necessary?
Well, I was a graduate student in English and finally finished my PhD in English, I never remember Tolkien as a student. In fact, I knew about Tolkien, but I knew about Tolkien because of his academic work, not because of his imaginative work, sort of like C.S. Lewis. I knew about C.S. Lewis, but I didn't know much about the Chronicles of Narnia or any of his imaginative work. I knew of Lewis because of some of his other academic writings, and it was the same with Tolkien. So I knew about Tolkien, but I was just never exposed to The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings as an academician, and
mm-hmm.
that came late. I don't remember exactly who it was that introduced me to Tolkien, but I think they gave me The Hobbit first, and that was the first book, and I had a hard time getting into it. I think I started it one or two times and finally got into it and enjoyed it, and The Lord of the Rings was quite different. I couldn't put The Lord of the Rings down. Once I started on The Lord of the Rings, I just whipped through all three volumes, and I was astounded. It was just magnificent.
It sure is, and obviously that's one of the reasons why we've taken 3 hours tonight to talk about this important work. So when did the audio production begin?
Well, as I mentioned, when the company started in 1972, we began recording some of the classics. We did some Robert Louis Stevenson, and we did Poe and Hawthorne, and we did some Mark Twain and quite a bit of Dickens, and we just over the next several years we added new recordings every year, and I think it was in about 74-75 when I first discovered Tolkien, and that's when we started looking at the possibility of recording The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. Generally, we looked to works that are inherently dramatic that would lend themselves to audio drama. Mm-hmm. And I think The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings both are perfect in that they really lend themselves to a dramatic rendition. And so we started looking at the possibilities. We've recorded probably 200 or 300 different works, and but nothing has been more fun than The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
Well, as a matter of fact, when you mentioned C.S. Lewis in your catalog, which we've been giving away for the last couple of shows and all night tonight, as a matter of fact, everybody who wins anything tonight, and we got maybe a dozen or so winners tonight, received one of those catalogs, and it is some cassette tapes of C.S. Lewis's Narnia tales, right?
We have the BBC license for audio programs in the U.S. and Canada. Mm-hmm. And we have two. The first of the Chronicles of Narnia is called The Magician's Nephew, which tells about the origins of the land of Narnia. And then the second one is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which is the most famous of the seven. And so far, there are just two volumes available, each with two cassettes. So they're about 3 hours long. And they're dramatizations by the BBC, and they're wonderful. They're very nicely done.
Well, you sent us copies of those, and that certainly encouraged us to think about doing an hour or so on C.S. Lewis, and maybe you can join us when we do that.
I'd love to.
Now, we're coming upon a break here, but get yourself ready for this question.
Okay.
Prime yourself up for this one. How did you decide what to omit from the production? Because that certainly is that's a difficult choice.
Okay. I'll tell you a little bit about how we adapted the two works, and maybe a little bit about the cast and how we set about doing it.
Well, that ought to get you somewhere around an A- on this quiz.
All right. Okay.
All right. We'll be right back, friends, with Mind's Eye and Dr. Robert Lewis. I almost called him Dr. Bob. Okay, friends. What we need to do right now, friends, is take an important pause, a kind of 21st century radio pause, and then when we come back, boy, we got some good stuff to share with you. Of course, at 24 minutes, I'll pick up where I left off there. The big 12 cassettes on The Lord of the Rings is going to be offered. We are really excited about that. Now, all right. And also, by the way, in our Christmas special, Dr. Robert Lewis is going to be with us again to wish us all a merry. He's going to be Santa. He's going to be one of Santa's helpers. Right, Bob?
Sure.
All right. Okay. Now, well, the question was, how did you decide what to omit from the production? Was it difficult? And who made the final choices?
Well, it's always difficult to know. We set out to tell the whole story, and we wanted to do it. The Hobbit was set out as about a five-hour program, and I was the one that adapted The Hobbit, and Bernard Mays was the one who worked on The Lord of the Rings. Bernie Mays, some of your listeners will know of him because he's... he was formerly the president of National Public Radio and has appeared in a lot of the Mind's Eye productions. He's a wonderful actor and a scholar, and he also adapted all of our Greek, and translated and adapted our Greek plays. But he did The Lord of the Rings. And essentially, what we tried to do is eliminate some of the longer narrative passages and keep the dramatic passages, but we did decide to retain a narrator to bridge the dramatic scenes because there's just so much beautiful narration and description and imagery in Tolkien that we felt needed to be included, and so that's why we retained the narration. And some of the narrative passages are fairly long, but that was principally the material that was reduced. So we kept the dramatic scenes and then just bridged them with short narrative passages.
And how did you collect the actors to portray all these parts?
Well, since we did the recording in 1978, so we had been recording for about 6 or 8 years. We'd done some recording before the company was founded, and as I mentioned, we had put together a group of fine actors that we began working with, and there were Well, there probably were close to 100 actors in the Bay Area that we worked with regularly.
Hmm.
And so from that pool of talent, we cast the two Tolkien works.
Well,
and I think it was just probably a little bit of luck and a little bit of skill together, because I thought we put together a wonderful cast for particularly for The Hobbit, but for The Lord of the Rings as well.
Yes, indeed. Well, when we come back, friends, because we need to pause here, we're going to ask you the big question, and we're going to ask some more questions of Dr. Robert Lewis in just a few minutes.
Thrice the great ram boomed against the gates, and suddenly upon the last stroke, the gate of Gondor broke. As if stricken by some blasting spell, it burst asunder. There was a flash of searing lightning, and the doors tumbled in riven fragments to the ground. In rode the Lord of the Nazgûl. A great black shape against the fires beyond, he loomed up, grown to a vast menace of despair. In he rode under the archway that no enemy ever yet had passed, and all fled before his face. All save one. There waiting, silent and still in the space before the gate, sat Gandalf upon Shadowfax. Shadowfax, who alone among the free horses of the earth endured the terror, unmoving, steadfast as a graven image.
Well, there you are, friends. That's part of it. All right. Now, here we go. We're back, friends. Now, could you give us some stories, a few stories on how the day-to-day operation unfolded when you were putting together these incredibly important tapes?
Sure. As I was listening to that excerpt that you just played, I was great to hear Gail Chug again. Gail was the narrator in Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, and of all the actors I've worked with in the last 20 years, I think Gail is probably the best narrator. He was wonderful. And he was not only the narrator, but he played Gollum.
Hmm.
And basically, the recording of The Hobbit took about 2 weeks, the basic voice track. And a lot of the scenes we would do... some of the group scenes and the crowd scenes and so on, we would do those and actually do the sound effects in the studio. And then all of the post-production came afterwards and was a tremendous job. It was, for every hour we figure in the studio, we spend at least 20 hours on post-production, doing the mixing and the sound effects and so on. And this was a pretty complex production. So... The Lord of the Rings we recorded for a period of about 3 weeks, the basic soundtrack, and then the post-production followed over a period. I would say it was, the whole project took us about 6 months after it was scripted and ready to go.
6 months.
There was some great, it was, as I mentioned before, it was probably the most fun that we all had in all of our recording experience. The whole group, we had a terrific cast, and everybody worked well together. Chug is the narrator. He was there, of course, all the time, and Gollum. Ray Reinhart, who was from the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco, was Bilbo, and he was a well-known actor.
Hold it there, Bob. We just need to take a little pause here, and then we'll be right back to you, and then we just got a couple minutes left, so we'll be right back.
Tomorrow begins your greatest adventure.
The greatest adventure is what lies ahead. Today and tomorrow are yet to be said. The chances, the changes are all yours to make.
Okay, friends, we are back. Now, we just have about a minute and a half to 2 minutes left. And I'm sorry I had to break in. That seems to be the law on radio, though, Bob. Now, where were we exactly?
We were just talking a little bit about the cast and the production of The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. And I mentioned our Bilbo Baggins was Ray Reinhart, an actor, well-known actor in the Bay Area. And he told me once, he said, you know, as long as I've been on the stage, people just, I've had a lot of recognition. But he said, when I was Bilbo Baggins and was on the radio, suddenly everybody came up and told me that I'd finally arrived, that they'd heard me as Bilbo Baggins. And we broadcast The Hobbit, I guess, on about 150 stations when it was first produced, so a lot of people heard it. But it was interesting that this actor, who was so good and always had leading roles at ACT, had many people come up and say, I heard you as Bilbo Baggins on the radio.
Oh, that's terrific.
But he was a perfect Bilbo. Bernard Mays, whom I mentioned earlier, was Gandalf, and Tom Luce, another Bay Area actor, was Thorin, and I thought he was wonderful. He was a nice, surly Thorin Oakenshield.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the cast for the Lord of the Rings was huge. There were a lot of people involved, and I have lots of stories to tell about the production, but I don't know if we're going to have time.
Unfortunately, we're all out of time, and that's one of the bigger problems of radio. But I want to tell you, Bob, I am so happy you decided back there in 78.
Well, we did the recording in 78. We decided a couple years before that we wanted to do it.
Well, I know Sonny is going to have a great time. Bernard's going to enjoy his Hobbit T-shirt. And we look forward to giving away other items from Mind's Eye in the weeks to come. I'm telling you, did an excellent job. A great service to humanity, Dr. Robert Lewis.
Well, thank you. We had fun doing it. It was our pleasure.
All right, friends. Once again, the number for Mind's Eye is 1-800-227-2020, 1-800-227-2020. And we'll be seeing Dr. Robert Lewis again he's going to be one of our Santa's helpers on December the 22nd when we give away several hundred different items. Wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah. Thank you very much, Robert.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's a delight to talk to you.
Same here.
Good luck. I'll talk to you on the 22nd.
I'll talk to you long before that.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Robert. All right, now, friends, that number, once again, is 1-800-227-2020, Mind's Eye Tape.